Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to season 3 of Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. Hello, my dear loyal listeners. Two important announcements today, if you're listening to it on the day it comes out, as you should be, because you should be downloading it and listening right away. It's Tuesday, it's election day, go to the fucking polls and vote, you fucking morons, because this is America, and you have a duty to vote. That's what Chrissy Teigen said. The second important thing, just as important, is that if you're listening to it today or Wednesday, I have a show in New York City at Caroline's on Broadway. That's right, you bitches on Broadway. You can get tickets at mattbellassai.com/tour. Come on out. It's going to be fun. It's all new jokes. It'll probably be a mess, but it's Wine Wednesday, and we can have fun.
I'll be there. You'll hear my laugh IRL, and it will be piercing.
I'm paying Barry to be in the audience to laugh. So when it inevitably goes off the rails, it'll still be fun. But anyway, we're back for season 3 of Unhappy Hour with more screams, more laughs, and more guests than ever before. And unfortunately, that also means I'm back in the studio with my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt. Man, it has been quite a month. Is there anything you want to catch up on?
So much. Okay, Harry Styles is co-chairing the 2019 Met Gala. Harry Styles wore an incredible Dodgers sparkly outfit a la Elton John that made me almost a sports fan. And Harry Styles interviewed Timothée Chalamet for ID Magazine.
That's it. That's all that happened this past month.
That's all you have to know. So now we're all up to speed. Let's get into this week's episode. We're kicking the season off with Worst Things First, where I enlighten you with horrible headlines from around the world. Then we are diving deep into family gatherings because we are on the cusp of holiday season and I need to prepare for the worst. Also, because our guest today wrote, directed, and stars in The Oath, a new movie about an especially tense Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, that's right. We got Ike Barinholtz on the show today for an interview and a game. Ike is a comedian, writer, director. Besides his very own movie, you might also recognize him as Morgan Tookers on The Mindy Project and from a bunch of other funny places. We got all that and more, so let's get...
Wait a second, Matt. Wait. We forgot something important.
What, Barry?
We now have our very own Twitter handle.
Oh, right. Okay, that's worth interrupting me for, I guess. We got a brand new Twitter page that will be dedicated solely to all things Unhappy Hour. Go follow us at Unhappy Hour Pod. That's right, because some dumbass has the Unhappy Hour handle and she hasn't used it since 2017. We'll post pics, videos, share episode links, probably really dumb jokes that Barry writes and doesn't clear with me before sending.
Yes,
it'll be so worth it. Go give it a follow. Okay, now let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's spread those turkey legs and start the show. All right, worst things first. Let's get into the worst news of the week. First, a 90-year-old woman in Northeast England is back in court this week.
Oh, God.
After refusing to stop making hundreds of, quote, abusive calls to emergency services,
oh, no.
Demanding pasties, cups of tea, and rides to bingo.
Does she think that 911 is like TaskRabbit?
It's 999 in the UK.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
She literally has made hundreds of calls demanding pasties, which are not nipple covers in the UK. It's a baked pastry, unfortunately.
This definitely sounds like your type of woman. Like you will
I
be
know.
Her.
This woman named Lena has apparently told operators to send paramedics numerous times shouting things like, bring me a cup of tea and a pasty. Hurry up, I'm starving. My pasties fucking fell on the floor, you stupid cunts. Get the ambulance out now. And I need someone to take me to bingo to keep me calm. Stop fucking messing around with me. I'm not going to sit in this house all day.
You're a descendant of this woman.
Here's the thing. Bring her a fucking pasty, you monsters. She's a 90-year-old woman. Bring her to bingo. Lena, you can come to bingo with me if you're listening, and I'm sure you are. Set down the phone and just...
Tweet at us on Happy Hour Pod.
Send us a tweet and I'll come pick you up. Apparently, she was given a 2-year conditional discharge in July after being convicted of making nuisance calls, but she was back in court in October after making 420 more calls.
Oh my God.
420 blades.
She's an ultimate prankster.
Between July 14th and August 30th, in 1 month, that's like 12 phone calls a day, math.
Wow.
And now she's back in court. She admitted to malicious communications offense and was handed a 12-month community order.
What? What is she going to do?
My favorite thing, this was in like the Daily Mail, which is the worst newspaper in the world. And they had this picture of her coming out of court and she has a cane in one hand and then a giant inhaler in the other hand. An inhaler with that like long attachment.
Oh, yeah. No, I've used them.
Oh, I know. Same. Anyway, shout out to Lena. Never stop being you. Just ride it out. You haven't got long left. Next! A nun came out as a lesbian, which is great news. The only bad thing is that the nun is dead. And her ghost came out as a lesbian.
I'm sorry, what?
She told it to a group of queer ghost hunters. There's a YouTube series called Queer Ghost Hunters, because why not? Everybody just assumes that all ghosts are straight. Guess what? No. It's funny because they go to, like, bathhouses. They're like, where would gay ghosts be hanging out? The bathhouse. So it features a team of LGBT ghost hunters, and they claim to have made contact with 15 gay ghosts so far.
This is why representation matters.
I want representation in the spiritual community, the spirit realm, because gay ghosts have more fun. Speaking of ghosts, a lot of people sent me this story. A British woman who claims she has slept with at least 20 ghosts says she's now engaged to a poltergeist.
Oh, mazel
so,
tov.
Yeah, congratulations to them. This woman named Amethyst Realm.
Yep, definitely.
Definitely her birth name. I'm almost positive that's on her birth certificate. She was interviewed on British morning TV like a year ago to say that she'd given up men in favor of ghosts.
Are them...
Which, like, good for her.
Yeah. We should all
if
be
I had
so
that
lucky.
Connection, yeah, I wouldn't be fucking around with real life men. No.
No.
Not that I am. Anyway, she met this poltergeist. She calls it a him because that's easiest. She met him on a trip into the Australian bush.
Mm.
That's where I meet all of my lovers.
And then he took a trip. Into her bush.
He did. She said that they had sex on the airplane back.
Whoa.
Mile High Club.
Yeah.
Mile High Ghost Club.
Was it in the bathroom? Does she need to go somewhere for it? Can she just stay in her seat?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe we should have her on.
Yeah.
Next! A half-naked 26-year-old woman fell through the ceiling of a Tennessee burger and barbecue joint. Not just once. but twice.
What? Does she live above it?
Before being apprehended by police. Basically, an employee at the barbecue and burger joint called police to report that she saw a woman bust through the ceiling tile. And then the woman was able to pull herself up and retreat back into the ceiling. I just love that choice of words. Like a spider. She retreated back into the ceiling. Officers arrived, and while they were looking around, the woman fell back through the ceiling, landing on the floor of the kitchen before trying to run away. That's when police saw that she was wearing nothing from the waist down. You know, we've all been there. Mm-hmm. We've all been in a barbecue and burger joint, and you get stuck in the ceiling with your pants off, and then you fall through twice. Next! A Russian scientist working in Antarctica is facing attempted murder charges after allegedly stabbing a colleague for telling him the endings of books.
Oh, that guy deserves it.
An engineer named Sergey is accused of stabbing a welder named Oleg in the chest.
Oh, no.
An algorithm wrote this story. It's just like, pick the most stereotypical Russian names, Sergey and Oleg. Apparently, the guy was evacuated to a hospital and he wasn't in any real danger. But the one guy would always rent books from like the local library, but then spoil the endings. And the first guy was like, fuck you, I'm going to stab you in the chest instead. I used to work at a bank when I was 16 years old because I'm a nerd. And this like older woman that I worked with would literally every Monday, she would come back and she'd have seen every movie that came out. That's all that she did, was see every new release. And then she would recount the plot in detail, including the endings of every movie. And honestly, I respect this man so much because he took initiative and stabbed that fucking person. Mary Lou is lucky she's alive. Well, she might not be. I don't know. This was a long time ago.
Oh, no.
And finally, police officers were called to a wine store in Florida. Only in Florida. Because two already drunk customers were allegedly trying to recreate a scene from Dirty Dancing in the middle of the store.
Which one?
They do not specify which scene, but it's probably the dance one. You know the dance scene from Dirty Dancing?
That one.
It's got to be the one where he lifts her up.
Yeah.
That's the whole plot of this movie. Let them dance. You can never stop anyone from dancing. Nobody puts them in a corner. This is what happens in Florida. Censorship. You do you, girls. I hope when you get out of jail, you go back to Total Wine and More and you dance your faces off. And that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we are diving deep into the terrors of family gatherings. Turkey leg. Aunt Cheryl. Raisinette. Cranberry sauce. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive.
Deep dive.
Deep dive. Deep dive. Well, it's the beginning of November. The leaves have changed. The sun now sets at 2 p.m. And all of you fake seasonal iced coffee drinkers have succumbed to the weakness of your fingertips and gone back to hot. You're fake. Which all means one thing. Fall is here. And it's time to get festive. And this body is festive for Thanksgiving, bitch. This body is festive for Thanksgiving year round. I'm always ready. And now it's just my moment. It's finally in season. That's right. It's family gathering season. The time of year when many of us sidle up to a table with friends, family, and or mortal enemies to break bread and possibly also break one another's faces. Okay? So in honor of the sometimes vicious spirit of family gatherings, let's dive deep into the worst things about bumping elbows with the old fam. And yes, this might be a few weeks early, but hey, some of us need that long to mentally and physically prepare for this. So
you're welcome.
I wrote this last night when I was high.
Yes!
Let's get into it! First, get guaranteed. You're asked the same fucking questions every year, and I'm sick of it. Are you seeing anybody? I'm seeing lots of people. You know why? Because I have two eyes, and I'm not the little boy from The Sixth Sense. This isn't a press conference, all right? I'm not here to take questions. When I have a relationship to announce, you will be alerted through the proper channels. Until then, please send all inquiries to my publicist. She will get back to you in a timely fashion. I'm sick of answering questions every time I go home for Thanksgiving. No thanks. Also, I'm sick of the same arguments over food every single year. Here's the definitive answer to every debate. Cranberry sauce is trash.
Yes.
Dark meat is better than white meat.
Still because don't understand the
it's
difference.
It's more succulent.
Okay.
Broccoli casserole is better than green bean casserole.
Yeah.
Mac and cheese is not a Thanksgiving food, but I'll allow it if it makes its way to the table.
Please.
Salad should never be a part of a holiday meal. Mm-mm. Pumpkin pie is the only good pie, and nobody knows what the fuck a yam is. Next, obviously, whoever decided to hold elections like 3 weeks before Thanksgiving is homophobic and racist and probably a pedophile, okay? Because you're trash. You ruined everything. I just wanted to sit down and eat a bowl of gravy in peace. But now I have to scream globs of gravy everywhere, just trying to convince my uncle that Mexican people are human beings. Thanks a lot! This throat should be inhaling sweet potatoes, not shouting about how the Republican Party is a bunch of millionaires and billionaires trying to use abortion and trans people to scare half of the country into voting for tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires. You want to fight, Uncle Gary? Because I went to the gym twice this month. Also at Thanksgiving, everybody's like, oh, who's going Black Friday shopping? And it's like, none of us are, Cheryl. Okay, first of all, the Amazon robots will be doing all of my holiday shopping for me. Thank you. I haven't left my house in 4 weeks. I'm not going to punch some minivan driver at 5 a.m. just so I can save $6 off a $2,000 flat screen 4K TV. First of all, nobody knows what the fuck a 4K TV is.
No idea.
All these electronic stores are trying to convince me I need to buy some type of diamond-encrusted Star Trek screen just so I can spend 10 hours a day with my dick out in front of it. Also, Black Friday shopping isn't even fun anymore because all of these big box stores open at like 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. That's true. Because capitalism is a scourge. And the oligarchs who run this country get to sit at home on their thrones while all the piss ants at the bottom of the totem pole have to miss out on pie just to sell discount Tickle Me Furbies to Midwestern moms with undercuts.
You get really political when you're stoned.
I'm just saying. When we eat the rich, I call Harry Styles. Also, people are always like, how's work? how's work? I don't know, Aunt Helen. Maybe if you listen to my podcast every week, you'd know. Maybe you should just have a Google alert on my name. You'd know that I was recently featured in 3 separate news items last month, okay? Yeah, that's 0.7 news articles per week, okay? I could walk in here and talk about Cousin Terry's addiction to anime porn because that's a mystery that cannot be solved via search engine. Why aren't we asking the real questions? Like, when was the last time you retweeted me, and why haven't you been liking and commenting on all of my Instagrams? Also, there's like too many children at family functions, and I cannot allow that because they're starting to get smarter than me, and I don't like that. I literally don't know what to talk to them about. What do you ask them about? So, do you have all your teeth yet? That's all I know. Also, nobody understands that the only things that I want to be talking about are the things that I want to be talking about, okay? Does that make sense?
Please elaborate.
I don't give a fuck if you got fired from your job just before retirement and might lose your house.
Oh, God.
Okay?
Oh, my God.
Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson broke up, and if I have to understand what that means, then so do you. Thank you. Next! I'm tired of having my version of success compared to my cousin's. I'm sorry. Cousin Andrew bought a house and had a baby. Did Cousin Andrew win a People's Choice Award 3 years ago? I don't think so. Just because I'll never retire because I'm trapped in the cycle of indentured servitude that is renting real estate in New York City and I've been single for 336 months doesn't mean my achievements are not valid.
Oh, I want to give you a hug.
Also, family, they always want to see pictures you took on your phone after you tell any story. And it's like, that is a dangerous game of camera roulette. You're asking for a dangerous situation, my friend. Sure, you might get a glimpse of my trip to Barcelona, but one swipe too many, and you also might see a picture of the mole on the bottom of my left testicle that I took from my doctor, even though he was like, please don't send me a picture of your ball mole. Just make an appointment. And I was like, a picture is not going to hurt, right? I'll just take it and send it. And he's like, a picture is never as good. It's just making an in-person appointment. And I was like, I'm just going to take a quick picture and I'll send it to you. And then it turns out, it was just a raisinette. A wet raisinette that got stuck and wouldn't come off in the shower. Then it's like three separate people will ask you if you lost weight, even though you know you gained weight. And it's like, maybe we just keep comments about our bodies to ourselves, okay? The only weight I care about is the wait until dinner starts. Oh. Which probably won't be long because dinner at family functions always starts at like 2 p.m. And it's like, great. Now I just ate a huge ass late lunch and I'm going to be hungry at like 9 p.m. when all the hot food has developed a filmy layer of goo on top of it. So we're all fucked. Okay, why can't we just eat at a normal fucking time? And then you don't look at me and you don't make eye contact with me while I eat it. Okay. Also, everybody judges you for the amount that you drink. And it's like, listen, I'm a professional. I appreciate your concern, but an entire bottle of wine is basically just a Capri Sun to me at this point. So why don't you just not judge me as I crack open bottle number three and we'll be fine. And finally, the question, so, what's new with you? No! I didn't write anything for that. I just am mad about it. What's new with me? What's new with me? What's new with you, Aunt Caroline? Your boobs, I can tell. Everyone is fake. You're all fake. And I have to pull all the weight as the gay cousin. It's my duty to our nation to be here presenting myself as the only homosexual in the family. And I have to bring out all the stops, all the bells and whistles. I have to bring out the capes. I have to bring out the tassels. I have to bring out my baton on fire. All to keep this family afloat. I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered with it. I'm done. I'm already done. And it's not even the middle of November yet. I haven't even booked my goddamn flights. That's all I have time for today. Thank you for listening. And that's it for this week's deep dive. Next, we got Ike Barinholtz in the studio right after this commercial break. Today's episode is brought to you by Casper. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. With three mattress models, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential, Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool. It regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Plus, it's delivered right to your door in a small, how-do-they-do-that size box with free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. And the best part, you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. After all, you spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. But if you're me, you spend more like one half of your life in bed. I'm watching TV in there. I'm reading. I'm writing. I'm snacking. I'm practicing trigonometry. And since I've got a Casper mattress, no matter what it is I'm doing on my mattress, I am comfortable. I am cool. And I am feeling like a sweet baby angel. and you can feel like a sweet baby angel and get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/unhappy and using unhappy at checkout. That's casper.com/unhappy, offer code unhappy for $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply. Today's episode is also brought to you by Skillshare. Guess what? I'm a teacher. That's right, me. I made a class on Skillshare on writing for the internet so you can learn from me, a master, on how to make the good stuff. People always ask me how I got started on the internet. This is how. This is how you learn. What is Skillshare, you ask? Skillshare is an online learning community with over 20,000 creative and entrepreneurial classes to fuel lifelong learning, including my very own class on creating shareable content. So whether you're just trying to deepen your professional skill set, start a side hustle, or just explore a new passion, Skillshare is there to keep you learning and thriving. Ready to make better content and grow your audience? Then join me on Skillshare today with a special offer just for you listeners. You can get 2 months of Skillshare for free. That's right. Skillshare is offering Unhappy Hour listeners with 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes for free. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/unhappy. Again, go to Skillshare.com/unhappy to start your free 2 months now. That's Skillshare.com/unhappy. My guest complainer today is Ike Barinholtz. Ike is an actor, comedian, and writer. His new movie, The Oath, which he wrote, directed, and stars in, is out now. Ike, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I feel like we are on a date in most exclusive restaurant in the world. One table in a closet.
That is exactly
what we're on.
But
it's not a closet. It's an actual sound booth.
Yeah.
It's got, you know, it's got these sound booth things where you know you're in a sound booth.
So
the
we could murder one another and nobody would know.
Except for the engineers and the folks outside. So real quick, guys, if he murders me, call the police.
Good, good.
They've been warned. I don't want to die in here. I have a lot of people counting on me.
Right. Well, we like to start by asking everybody, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves? Just to get our complaining juices flowing.
I can tell you, I there's parts of the beach that I like, but I fucking hate sand.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate that you go to the beach and you step in the sand for a second and then somehow everything you own has little grains of sand in it that are impossible to get out and they track everywhere and it's I hate it.
You touch sand and it's part of you forever.
It's part of you forever.
There's no escaping it.
No, I hate sand. So whenever people are like, let's go to the beach, I'm always like, is there like a rocky beach somewhere? Because sand sucks and it gets in my car and in my shoes and it's impossible to get out. And I know sand is one of your sponsors.
Yes. So we're going to have to take all of that
out,
unfortunately.
We'll take it out, but F sand.
I identify as a pale Midwesterner.
Where are you from?
I am from Chicago.
Where?
I'm from the south suburbs of Chicago.
Which one?
The town I'm from is called Elsip, which...
I know Elsip.
Do you really?
I do. I grew up in the city. And when you grow up in Chicago, you know every single suburb.
Yeah.
And I know Elsip.
And you worked for the CTA at one point, the L?
I did work for the CTA. Well, I worked in the marketing department at
the
CTA.
So you didn't have to, like, deal with... The horrors of people
no,
on
I
the
No, I still CGA. Did. I still did. In fact, you know the fare card machines, right? So we tested the prototype, my department did. And I'll never forget, it was like 1997, maybe 98. And they had installed like 3 of them around the city. And I had to go to popular stations during the rush hour, AM rush, and try to persuade riders to try this new technology.
Yeah.
And the first day, like, no, you know, in the morning, people just have their headphones on, they have their coffee, they don't want to talk to anyone. So I was the guy standing in line being like, I see you're waiting in line for the token clerk. Do you want to try one of these machines? And this first guy is like, fine, fine. He's already mad. And I go, well, all you do is take, you know, whatever, 1, 5, 10, or 20, and you could put in, all I have is a 20. I go, well, the machine accepts 20s. And I put it in, and I go, then just hit this button, and nothing happens. And I go, well, just hit that button. And I start hitting it a few times. And he's like, what's going on, man? What's happening? Why is it not working? And I was like, no, it's working. It just takes a second. And I kept pressing it. And I think I kind of hit it with my elbow. And it wasn't working. And I went over to the token clerk and I said, hey, this gentleman just tried to buy a ticket from the fare card machine and I need to give him a refund. And she's like, what? Who? Huh? No, I'm not. I don't know you. I don't know the machine. So I had to give this guy basically a receipt to bring to the merchandise mart on his lunch hour to get his $20 back. He looked me right in the eye and said, go fuck yourself. It was like a soul cry. I ruined his day just by trying to do my job.
That's the thing about, like, obviously the MTA here in New York is a disaster.
I heard it's been really bad lately. Yeah.
There's an image of a train got stuck underground in between two stations, and they had to have another train come in and push it into the station.
That's a good system. I think that's how it's supposed to work.
But it was stuck underground with no power, no air conditioning in the middle of the summer. And when it pulled into the station, all the windows were fogged up. And there were just hand streaks.
Oh, God.
Like, it's like a horror
dystopian
movie. That has haunted me. I wasn't even on that train.
Yeah.
But the image of it.
The image
has
of being stuck
me.
On a crowded New York train during rush hour for an extended period of time is like you could legitimately make a horror movie out of it. It's awful.
But the one better thing about the MTA than the Chicago trains is that Chicago trains, the seats are fabric.
Yeah.
Which is, I didn't
very
think
stainable.
Twice about it until I moved to New York and I was like, wait a minute.
You sit on one of those seats and all of a sudden your ass is wet. You're like, oh, did someone like spill? I hope this is water or coffee.
It's never water. It's
water. Almost always a urine.
Yeah, at least.
And if you're lucky.
Yeah, Chicago has its good things,
Has its ups and downs, I would say.
What is the worst thing someone could say about Chicago in your eyes?
The worst thing someone could say about Chicago. I mean, this is not the worst. I mean, the worst thing is like when Trump's like, it's murder capital, it's the murder capital.
Right.
But like to me, I get angry when people, like, look, if you don't like deep dish pizza, that's fine. You can totally not like it.
Exactly.
I get it. But when people are like, that's not pizza. Like, it's not pizza. I'm like, okay, it's a fucking sphere of dough with tomato sauce and cheese that's been placed in an onion with Italian-style toppings. What do you want to call it? Do you want to call it a shoe? So that's the thing I'm just kind of like, no, it's pizza. You could still like New York pizza.
Exactly.
Fucking it's pizza.
I agree. Just eat it. It's good. We don't have to argue about the classification.
No, and what's better doesn't matter. What do you like more or less? But they're both pizza, dude.
We're too divided in this. People just want to put a wedge between two cities by
saying. They do. They really do.
Pizza is better.
It's an inorganic and unnecessary fight.
Right.
There's real things to fight about, like sports teams.
Exactly. Speaking of sports, you have the honor of being the first straight white man who is a guest on this podcast.
Are you serious? Wow.
We ran the numbers.
We've
had quite a few guests. The first straight man was W. Kamau Bell. He took that honor.
I'm honored, and I think I should be that person.
Good.
Yes.
My question is, what do you have to say for yourself?
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for the world.
I'll consider your apology.
Yes, it's listen. I don't know if you follow the president, but it's a scary time for boys out there.
I try not to, but it is. Yeah.
It's very scary, and I just hope that white guys out there, it's a tough time for us, and we have to band together, and don't let them take away our country because it's ours.
Young straight white boys need a role model like you.
They do.
Where else are they going to look?
Where else are they going to go? No, it's me. And I'm proud to take that mantle. And I know most of the straight white guys I know are wonderful, wonderful woke men who love this country and love their families and are trying to make it better.
I like how you said most.
I got a
not
couple.
All.
I got a couple friends who aren't woke. They're asleep.
Right. I guess on that topic, let's talk about your movie.
Let's do it.
The Oath. Why don't you just like give us a quick summary of what it is?
If you can imagine an America where politics has divided everyone, and a president who's obsessed with loyalty, and who's a budding authoritarian. If you can imagine that, step out of the box that you live in. And he has asked the citizenry to sign this loyalty oath. And it's driven a bigger wedge in the population. Half the people say, oh, it's not a problem. What's the big deal? Other half are like, this is Stalin. And the deadline to sign it is the Friday after Thanksgiving, right? Black Friday. So the whole movie takes place in the house the week of Thanksgiving, where all the relatives are there and everyone's already tense and ready to fight.
Right.
And so kind of the first half of the movie is like basically this family, you know, trying to, you know, keep their shit together during the week. And then these evil external forces come to the house and it kind of turns into this very bloody, exciting thriller. So there's nothing else like it out there. It's a very singular movie, and we've taken it all over the country to red states and blue states and purple states, and the reaction has been pretty awesome. We're pretty thrilled with what people take away from it.
Yeah, it's very much like Get Out in that. It's 99% is based in reality. And then it's that 1% just craziness.
Yeah, it is. It's like a lot of people are like, it's too close to home, man. You know, I fight with my relatives and I have a president who's obsessed with loyalty. And like, look, there's, you know, Jimmy Kimmel said this movie, and you look back at it in 3 years and be like, oh, this was like a documentary. But it's definitely, it's the same producers as Get Out.
Right.
I think they like to try to make movies that have some social relevance and are somewhat reflective as to what we're seeing in society right now.
Right, right. Obviously, it's Thanksgiving season.
It's upon us. Everyone's getting ready.
The fucked up thing is that we have to have this election right before Thanksgiving.
Whoever
decided to have elections around holiday time is they want us to fight with one another.
I'm going to be one of two kinds of drunk at Thanksgiving. Either I'm going to be like super happy drunk where I'm like running around laughing, or I'm just going to be like old man at a bar,
right,
just sopping with whiskey and just sitting there with this faraway look in my eyes. So either way, I'm drinking.
Do you come from like a politically divided family? Mm-hmm. Like, is this based in reality, your reality?
My family is, for all intents and purposes, very united politically. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea for the movie came after the 2016 election, after that Thanksgiving. My mom and my brother and I got in this huge fight about the election. We're like blaming each other, which is crazy. And the next day I was like, oh my God, we all voted for the same person, like rather enthusiastically. And we were like pointing fingers and like, it's your fault. And I just knew that this kind of arena of the American holiday table was just forever changed. It was never going to go back. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to, you know, take that world and kind of blow it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we do.
I also think about how, I don't know, if other families are anything like my family, like there are family rifts that stem from absolutely nothing.
Oh, yeah. Like, we've been aligned politically, but I'll never forget. I went to go see the movie Wet Hot American Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Classic.
Loved it. Blew me away. My brother saw it. He's like, I loved it. My parents saw it and they were like, I hate this movie. I fucking hate it. I was like, how could you hate? I remember like specifically yelling at them, like, you know what? Just go watch Becker. Stay home and watch fucking Becker, because that's what that's meant for you. This is a movie for us. So we take those things. We handle them with passion, because mm-hmm. I think they are important too. Like, it's not, you know, if you like something and you really care about it, you have to let people know.
Yeah. My family, it's like, oh, I asked you to bring a pie and you didn't bring a pie and now you're never invited to anything ever again.
Well, that's fucked up. If you say you're bringing a pie and you show a pie list, that is like,
exactly,
that is not cool, man.
Now the entire meal is affected by your ignorance.
Very selfish. Yeah, I'm on your side.
There are deep family divisions that stem from and then it just kind of exponentially gets worse.
Well, yeah, because we hold on to everything and we don't always resolve things. We're just like, oh, let it go, and then it builds up until one day, like, you know, you turn to your aunt and you're like, you're a whore, and you're like, oh, she's like, what did I do?
You forgot the pie.
You forgot the pie. Never forget the pie.
Changing tack here. So you are also on The Mindy Project,
yes,
right? And on a scale of like Michael Scott from The Office to like Miranda Priestly from Devil Wears Prada,
yes,
how terrifying of a boss is Mindy Kaling?
Oh, that's really good. She's like, I think she's right in between those two.
Right.
Because she admittedly, like, I remember one time she had like a like a party at her house, and just we were all out of town, and she was like, I am Michael Scott. Like, I've invited all my employees to a party and none of them are coming. But then she's like Miranda Priestly in the sense that she expects excellence, and she works so hard, and I think kind of sets the standard. And if you're not working hard, you know, she'll let you know. I mean, she's like, but she's the best boss I've ever had, and she's like one of my best friends. So if somehow Miranda Priestly and Michael Scott had a baby, I think you could do worse than Mindy Kaling.
Right.
I am if Michael Scott and Dwight had a baby. That's what I am.
I see that. Yes. I see that. Yeah. I also have asked every one of her. We had Fortune Feimster on. Oh,
the
Guy
best.
Branum was
oh,
here.
I just did a podcast with him the other day.
And I asked all of them if they were the father of her baby, but they were definitely like off the table. And
why? Anything could happen.
Guy, yeah. He has the parts. At
Fortune
least.
Would be a tough one.
Right.
There would have
right.
to be some real like splicing going on.
Right.
But
right.
It might be a guy.
But it's 2018, so you
hey,
never know.
No judgment.
There are ways.
No judgment.
So my money is still on Fortune.
I think so. That's one of my favorite lines in the Mindy Project when she like gets dumped and Fortune's character's like, join my team. And he's like, no, I don't have to be gay yet.
Not yet. You have to hold out
all She has a couple more years.
You started out as an improv performer,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I started out in Chicago.
And I usually love asking performers if you can recall just your worst moment on stage.
Oof, I've had so, so many. Oh my
Improv
God.
Seems especially like you would kind of have a stack of those horrible moments.
I just kind of early starting on in the improv scene, like I didn't know what I was doing. But I would still invite my parents and all my friends to come see the show, you know. And I would always just be like big, aggro, you know, angry white dude. And I just remember one show in specific. I was just like, the audience hated us. We were doing bad work. And I was not doing well. And I'm one of those guys where if I go out and do the first few scenes and I'm not getting laughs, some people would just be like, I'm going to sit back and just sit this. But I'm like, no, I'm chasing it. So I kept going back out there, and I'll never forget, I heard a woman say, like in the front row, whispered to her boyfriend, ugh, this guy again. And I was like, ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's hard not to take that personally.
Yeah,
but it's meant personally.
If you fail, just keep failing until you fail so much that when you succeed, people are like, oh, good job. You didn't fail this time. Very nice. I see what you did.
Yeah. I remember reading an interview with Stephen Colbert where he talked about, like, just loving that moment when you bomb completely. Just, like, learning to love it so much.
If
so
you can
that...
get to that spot, you're basically giving yourself a bulletproof vest.
Yeah. I feel like he's the only person who
yeah.
can actually
or
get
like,
in that
I know,
headspace.
Like, Norm MacDonald's always like, I like when I don't get any laughs. And I'm like, whew, you're really in good mental shape, I think, because, you know, if you're able to quote-unquote, own it and be like, yeah, they hated it. Nice. That's a good place to get because you'll never feel bad about yourself. But I'm not built like that. I definitely take it personally.
Yeah. So it's especially when you're on stage and there's literally people in front of you who are there to judge what you're
so
doing.
So close. They're sitting like you could smell their breath.
Yeah.
It's hardcore, man.
When they don't like it, it's hard not to be like, oh, you hate me, everything about me.
Oh, absolutely. And try making a movie. It's like you're inviting everyone into your house to see how you decorated it, and you've taken off your clothes. And they're like, hey, you got some really hairy ass, don't you? And you're like, yes, thank you for looking. It's hardcore, man.
Is it easier, though, that you don't have to kind of see people's reactions, their faces at a movie?
Yes, that is true. That is true. I mean, we've been touring the country with this movie, and I still do, like, sneak into the theater to hear the laughs and stuff, which is, like, you need that. But one time we were doing, I can't remember what, maybe Neighbors 2 or something, and I went to a test screening. And we could just kind of watch the movie play. And then they were like, now we're going to film everyone talking about their favorite parts. And mm-hmm. Seth Rogen's like, I think you should leave. We should both leave right now. You don't want to see this. You don't want to see people because in that situation, they'll have issues with things you have no control over. They'll be like, I didn't like that one guy's teeth. And I'm like, well, I'm not, what do you want me to do? I like, this is how I was born. I don't want to get corrective dental surgery. It's just like, you feel so vulnerable. But you just have to just kind of keep going and take it with a grain of salt and then just trying to keep doing stuff. It's hard.
Yeah. I'm such
but it's good.
The creative life.
Oh,
yeah.
It's such a motherfucker. But it's good. Like it's good, especially like if you have something that you are proud of. Like I'm proud of this movie, The Oath. Like I think it's you won't see another movie like it this year. It's just it walks the line between like funny, like laughing as hard as you can, and then being like legitimately scared and being like, I need to get out of this house. And so to go around and show it to people and get the reactions, it's been very like affirming.
Yeah. I think a lot of comedians talk about like how hard it is to make comedy. Like nobody's crying over comedians. Oh, you can't make jokes.
Right.
About
right.
But there's a very fine line between like what kind of is just too much right now for people. Like things are just so heavy that like how do you kind of make comedy in this world where like. Children are in cages.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, that's why I decided to make this movie the way I did. Like, you wake up in the morning and you check Twitter, and like the first thing you see is like, pig in a diaper. Look at pig in a diaper, everyone. Oh my God, he's so funny. And then the next thing is like, oh my God, a mother and a child separate at the border listening to the audio. You start crying. So I knew that when I was going to make this movie, it was never going to be just a pure comedy because that would not be reflective of this absurd time we're living in. And at the same token, I didn't want to make it super serious because then you're missing all the humanity and the kind of the heart and the laughs that we do have these days. Like Donald Trump is the only person, not the only person, but one of the only people who can make you like punch your head because you're so angry. And then like you laugh at something he did that's so stupid and the way he says it. So you know, I think I'm excited to kind of tell stories that I feel like are in tune with America in 2018. And I hope more people do them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was all to say that, yeah, I think that the movie gets at that and is also funny.
Yeah, it's also funny. And, like, it walks that line where something horrible will happen and then we cut it with a joke. And that was kind of the balancing act of the film is to make sure that we never tip it too much so it's never too funny and not too scary. And I think we kind of found, at least from my taste, the right kind of mix.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, before we let you, we don't have a whole lot of time. I do want to play a quick game. It's pretty simple.
I love games.
It's a series of scenarios, series of governments, so to speak.
Ooh.
And you have to tell me whether you would pledge an oath of allegiance to this hypothetical government.
Love
all right?
Love it.
First, a government led by Taylor Swift, wherein everyone is required to be her best friend and hand-deliver a wrapped birthday present to her feet every year.
Yeah,
You'd have to.
I would pledge allegiance to that. To Tay-Tay? Yeah, I would.
You'd have to give her a gift.
Sure. I don't mind.
Every year until you die or she dies.
I also have a foot fetish. So maybe I could get a sniff. I'm down with that because you know what, that lady, she has a lot of gumption. I feel like she, you know, really probably turned off a lot of her fans. But I think she basically looked at this dire situation we're in. She's like, I have to say something. So guess what, Tay-Tay? All hail you, and I will be bringing you a gift to your feet and taking a sniff very soon.
She got there eventually.
Yeah,
and now there's a bunch of new voters.
That's
so
it.
That's good.
I'll take it.
A government that installs cameras in every stuffed animal in the country, right? But the cameras are only activated if you use the word coitus.
Oh. So you're really trying to, like, appeal to, like, the furries here.
Do they use that word? I'm not familiar with all the intricacies.
Furries are people who use stuffed animals for sex play.
Oh, I'm familiar with the culture, just not their parlance.
Well, I just feel like if there's a stuffed animal and they're talking about cunnilingus, it has to be a furry.
That's true.
So I would not pledge allegiance to that. I don't want anything to do. I like to have sex with my wife and then play with my stuffed animals afterwards. Okay. I don't like to combine the two.
Got it. A government just like ours, but instead of a Supreme Court, it's just Beyonce making judicial decisions. Oh,
I pledge allegiance to Queen Bee. I mean, you're asking me what's better, Brett Kavanaugh or Beyonce?
Right.
And I'm going to go with Beyonce on that.
There's no check on her. She's just making decisions by herself.
I'm fine with it. I trust her. I trust Jay. And whatever they want to do, I'm fine with that. And I'm almost serious. I'm almost kind of like, oh, yeah, that would be like a really nice break from like the hellscape that we live in right now.
It's true.
President Beyonce or Supreme Court Justice Beyonce or whatever the fuck she is.
Right.
Is Kelly Rowland like a junior justice?
She's like a clerk.
Oof.
It's
tough. You'd think she would at least be like one of nine, but right. I guess not.
You know,
she's pretty good, though.
This is just the way that this government is set up.
I'm not going to question Beyonce.
A government that requires every cake to be fully homosexual.
I would pledge allegiance to that. I like gay cakes. I think they're more fun.
Right.
They have better taste.
Mm-hmm.
More functions. I think they're conducive to. So if the government said, listen, every cake henceforth is gay, I would be fine with that.
Good. That is correct.
Yeah.
A government where any person that says the word supposedly is publicly guillotined.
I'm fine with that, along with foliage and nuclear.
Right.
Those are the three that if people are saying those, I think you got to go bye-bye.
A government that requires all straight men to do 10 hours of hard labor every day or else they're banished, because maybe then they'll, like, chill out a bit.
I mean, but we should go further. Let's have them do like 10 hours of labor at like Andy Cohn's mansion or like, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Like, let's make sure that they're not just, because if a bunch of straight guys are doing hard labor by themselves, they're just going to get angry. And,
right,
and
right.
I think we have to expose them more. So like, let them like, you know, clean up the house after RuPaul's Drag Race wraps. Like, let them, yeah, let's get everyone together here.
It has to be only in service of the gays.
Yes, I agree with that.
All right. Finally, a government that requires everybody to personally tell me that I'm pretty every single day or I get to do whatever I want to them.
I'm fine with that. Okay. I don't have a problem with that. I think you're pretty. And
thank you.
I think, you know, look, people's civil rights will be abridged on that, and they will definitely be like, you know.
Right. It is forced speech.
It's forced speech.
But it's also true speech.
I mean, the last person to do this was Chairman Mao.
Where I believe
in communist China for many years, every citizen would have to wake up and talk about how smoking he was. And China's doing pretty well.
Right.
I don't know if you know that.
Yeah. Also, everybody will have to force themselves to see how much they can cry at my funeral.
Oh.
They have to outperform their
sadness.
Yeah,
that's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
When Kim Jong-il died, I remember people were crying like it was like, I don't know, the last episode of Cheers, which was very sad for me.
Basically
I was
the
crying
same.
A lot. It was basically this. Maybe they also showed Cheers finale that day in North Korea.
Right.
But there was a lot of crying, and I'm sure you'll get the same. And if not, they will be beaten.
We came full circle in that I will not murder you.
Thank you.
Because you called me pretty. So,
thank you.
I'll let you leave this closet of a podcast studio.
Thank you.
Alive.
I have kids, man. It would be so bad if like my wife got the call. It's like, I did the pod that killed them. She'd be like, okay, well, I have three fucking kids now. And the worst part is she's a fan of the pod, so she would never be able to listen again. So you would be costing yourself a listener.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that she can continue listening.
She will.
Where can people find you and your work?
Well, if you go to my Twitter, at Ike Barinholtz, I have a little link that if you click on this website from Roadside Attractions, they'll tell you where The Oath is playing near you. And all I can tell people is, look, I know it's asking a lot to go to movie theater in 2018, and you can go see A Star Is Born and Venom and all this stuff, but if you go see this movie, those movies are going to be around forever. They're going to be in theaters for a long time. Go and see this. It's totally different, and it will just knock you around a little bit, and you'll walk out, and you'll feel like you had an experience.
Awesome.
I promise.
Everybody go see The Oath. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Bibby.
I'll see you next time.
Absolutely.
Bye. All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down. Barry, do you have a chaser?
Oh, I have so many television shows that I've been watching, and
yes,
they've all been amazing.
Which ones?
First of all, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yes.
I gotta say, I'm so into it. I'm so excited for season two already. It's dark, and it's, ooh, I love it.
How many episodes are there?
10, I believe.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
It's super fun. It's not as campy as I thought. It's not as funny as I expected.
Yeah.
But it's really, I mean, the costumes are amazing. I love, I'm going to say her name wrong, Kiernan. She's amazing. It's just really fun. It's so, I love it. I thought it was going to be like Riverdale, where I'm like, love watching it because it's so dumb. Mm-hmm. But it actually is like very interesting and like made me want to keep watching it. So Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Mm-hmm. And then I've been watching Elite.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard about the show?
I thought it was just Elite.
It's from Spain, so it's Elite.
Also, I fully thought it was French.
Nope, it's from Spain. And it's just a full-fledged soap opera set. And then there's like class clashing and like religious stuff. And it's so sexual. So sexy.
It's like high school. It's like Glee, yeah. But no singing and everyone's boning.
Yeah, and there's murder.
You know why I started watching it and I was turned off? Because I would rather watch it in Spanish with English subtitles than in English dub.
You don't need to watch it in English dub. It's just a settings issue.
Really?
Yeah, you can just go to audio and subtitles and then watch it in, it says like original European Spanish and then the subtitles in English. Yeah, no, I did not watch it dubbing. Don't do that. It's so bad.
It weirds me out so much. Yeah, I'd rather read the captions.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
And that's only 8 episodes and it's just a lot of fun. My chasers are all the television I've been watching, and I love it all. Riverdale's back. The Good Place is back. I'm happy. What about you, Matt?
Mine is also a television show I've been watching. It's a British reality show called Love Island. I've been tweeting and talking about it. I've actually watched like 60 hours of it in the last week and a half. Not an exaggeration. If you don't know what Love Island is, there's been like 4 seasons of it in the UK. It's all on Hulu, so you can go back and watch it. But it's basically like a bachelorette or like Bachelor in Paradise. It's a bunch of like hot people in a villa on an island, and they have to like couple up. The best part is that there are basically no rules. Like, it just drops all pretense that there is structure, and it's just like, we're here to fuck with these people and watch them squirm. And also, like, they're hot and it's great because the UK, I don't know if it's because it's on Hulu and they like took the censorship away, or if it's just like when it's originally filmed in the UK they don't care, but like they just openly have sex with one another. What? They all sleep in the same room.
Oh.
And they all are just, it's like an orgy.
Oh.
There was an episode I just watched this morning, this is what I do, where the one girl is like, if we sleep on top of the covers and the cameras see everything, they can't air it. So they just like openly fuck in front of everybody. And everybody else is like, what is happening? We can like fully see penetration. It's absurd.
Wow. Anyway, wait, so what's the point of the show? Does anyone win anything?
Yeah, the winning couple wins £50,000. But it's completely like, there's just like no rules or structure. It's just chaos.
Amazing.
CBS bought the American version that will be coming.
Wow.
And I'm very excited for it.
Wow.
And that's my chaser, because I will be watching every episode and spending a full like 120 hours of my life.
Yeah, that's a job.
If James Franco could be trapped under a rock for that long, then I could watch Love Island for that long. Thank you. That's it. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, then rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Claire Tai, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman, Max Linsky, Josh Gwynn, music by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at FinkelBerryPie. You can like me on all the social medias at Matt Belisai. You can follow Unhappy Hour at Unhappy Hour Pod. That's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. Special thanks to Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest delivers perfectly portioned cups of frozen organic fruits and vegetables directly to your door for when you need healthy fuel fast. Just add water or your favorite milk,
blend, or heat, and enjoy. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code UNHAPPY to get 3 cups free in your first box. That's promo code UNHAPPY for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. Thanks again to Skillshare for sponsoring today's show. Skillshare is an online learning community with over 20,000 creative and entrepreneurial classes to fuel lifelong learning. I've got my very own class on creating shareable content on Skillshare. Want to check it out? As a special offer, my listeners can get 2 months of Skillshare for free. Just go to Skillshare.com/unhappy to sign up.